You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wayne Hawks is in the studio. Hello to you, Wayne.
Morning, Jared. Should I go for my exemplary record and character if I'm in trouble?
You're not getting out of anything.
Okay.
You're going to have double the fine.
Righto. That's one to you, but I'm going straight back at you.
Yep, go on.
Unbelievable. Someone that's taller than you. Shorter than you.
Shorter than me.
All right. So you're taller than them. You're taller than nobody, mate. That umpire that just left. He's 4'11".
He's wonderful.
And I said to your producer, Ross, and Ross said, yeah. He said, I never noticed that. I said, well, I do because I deal with challenged heighted people all the time. They're called jockeys, you see, so I'm used to looking down on them.
Yes.
Someone shorter than you. That is amazing, folks.
I'm not that short.
No, of course you're not. Ray's not that tall.
Do you think it's inevitable from here that Gil McLaughlin's the next chairman of Racing Victoria?
Oh, look, there's nothing official, obviously, but unofficially the tongues are wagging and, that's what everyone's talking about. So I think it'll be fantastic. I like the idea of Gil going to Sydney and sitting down with Uncle Peter because one's AFL and one's NRL and they've always been fighting, whereas now you actually say, hang on, we're on the same path here, like Neil Wilson just said before. So I think it's only a plus. And one thing that Neil also touched on was that we never, ever go to government. We have our own ministers and everything, but I don't think we ever fully use the government. We never use them in an election, and we're the third or fourth biggest in the country. Federal or state, we don't use it enough. You think about all the things Gil has had to do and does do with the politicians. He sits next to the Prime Minister at every AFL Grand Final just to start off. We need him to start going to Canberra and state and help us out.
Do you think McLaughlin and Volandis could work together in the best interests of racing?
We've all got our thoughts, and why I hesitated was because I thought, you know what? I don't think they could. I think they need to, because Uncle Peter's losing votes. There's no doubt about that. It's not a vote win and a vote war, but Peter is not popular because the biggest thing is the Rose Hill. You know, I've just been up in Sydney for a couple of weeks and people are still talking about the Rose Hill thing. Everyone you speak to is still talking about Rose Hill. Maybe they're talking about it to me more because I've got a stable there, but it is a massive, you know, massive thing. And, you know, his biggest ally in Gay and Chris, as in Gay Wardhouse, Chris Waller, came out and slammed it. So he probably hasn't got a lot of mates up there. So I reckon he needs Gil to come back. And I've just been to the Melbourne Horse Sale and we spoke last week. You weren't here, but the Sydney Horse Sales, $10 million horses going through the ring. Racing industry is built around those pedigree pages. And with these pop-up races like the Golden Eagle and the Everest, for the people that don't understand, these races are just pop-up races that have got no... What's the word next to it? There's no black type, but what that means is there's no seniority or
prestige,
things like that. It's gaining in prestige, but the bottom line is the family, if you win the Everest, it goes on the family tree, but it's not bold. If you win the Melbourne Cup, it goes on the family tree, and that is your family's highlight. That's probably the better way to say it. So I suppose in some ways there's a bit of disregard for the family tree, and that's what the back of our spine is in our industry. So that's the first and most important Barton thing, because we haven't had a meeting about any of this for years. Now, will the Everest become like the Melbourne Cup? Yes, it will. Or a Cox Plate? Absolutely, it will. But it's just been the Melbourne v Sydney thing, and we have to stop that, because the smallest guy with the smallest horse takes on the world. Joe Janiak, the taxi driver. The next Joe Janiak that's out there would take over Target will come along and take on the different states. We're now moving to Adelaide, we're moving to Queensland for our carnivals. So as a horse trainer, you don't have one book in Victoria. You've got multiple books that we look at. So we want to get rid of the BS and all the politics and just get back to real horse racing, because just listening to Neil Wilson talk before and the race in Victoria, they have never been so far apart. The clubs v. the boss.
Yep.
So that'd be like, you know, VRC is Collingwood, make no mistake, and the, you know, the AFL is Racing Victoria. They've never been so far apart. Now, if that was the case in the AFL, it wouldn't be sexy behind the scenes, would it? And that's how it is internally with our clubs v. the big boss. We need Gill to come in because he's a great politician. I remember I asked you, and you said to me, the one thing, you probably remember this, I'm not putting you on the spot, the one thing, as Jared winces.
Quote me accurately.
Yes. Jared said, folks, the one thing that Gill does is he walks up and he says, hey, mate, I've got an idea. Let's go for a walk up the street and have a chat about it. And by the end of the street, you said, let's go, let's get it done. And I've always remembered what you said about that. We so need someone in our racing industry to take the bull by the horns. We don't have a CEO at the VRC now. We don't have a chairman at Racing Victoria. There's unrest everywhere with the clubs and the participants, and I'll quickly go on and say it, Cranbourne, they're now mooting the idea of having Saturday night meetings at Cranbourne and saying, well, you don't have to turn up, but sometimes it doesn't quite work that way, because the race that you want to run your horse in and your owner expects you to run, they've programmed it for that night. And are they sneaky? Absolutely they are. They did this with Pakenham when they first opened it up, but Saturday nights, when is enough enough? Now, we're not taking on football in summer, but I reckon by the time we get to Saturday nights, we've had enough. We want a beer. We want to wine. I remember as a kid going out with Darren Gauci on a Saturday night, we could kick our heels up. Can't do that anymore because you've got to back up for Sunday races. So we need downtime as well.
He's so good at building consensus and driving vision.
And that's what we need desperately. And you know what? To be honest, and this is no disrespect to anyone, it's not going to take a lot. I said on this program to you, if Gill comes in and Gill gets it right, there will be a statue of him next to Bart Cummings, Mackayby Diva, and Farlap. It's that simple. Do we need him? Absolutely we need him. Is he the biggest and the best? Probably not. There's always someone better out there. Maybe Donald Trump, if he doesn't win the election, might come. But the bottom line is we need the strength. And he is a strong man in the business world. And we need to have a heap of hands together pushing forward, because our industry is such a great industry. And it's slightly fragmented. It's not broken. But we need him to go to Sydney, speak to Peter, and we need to crack on.
Pride of Jenny, we expected her to lead by a long way, but seriously, 30 lengths, this is unbelievable. Pride of Jenny with sustained speed going to the 800 metres. I've never seen a horse this far in front in a group one.
She's 100 metres in front.
She's 100 metres in front of them. This is unbelievable. This is either the greatest ride any jockey's ever undertaken in this country, or the dumbest.
This is unbelievable. Pride of Jenny, about 30 lengths in front in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My oh my.
Anytime I ride her, I felt we've always been in. I got her into a nice rhythm. I was quite happy with today. I was never happy. I just felt she was doing it her way today, and look, she knows best, I think.
But Deck, to have the Norris to do that, I don't think it'll get any better than that. That's the biggest win I've ever seen.
Jason McDonald.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, from my perspective, it was disappointing. Like, well done, Pride of Jenny, but I'd love to have at least been given to have a fight. Pride of Jenny probably wins, but just to get so far off them, I don't know why they let the race unfold like that. And most of my boys said they sort of was out of their control, but I think they all said that. I'm not going to take any away from Pride of Jenny. She's a super mare.
It'll be replayed forever and a day. So Fiona texts through, Pride of Jenny, she vo-rogued the hell out of that field. Never seen anything like it in my 45 years of racing. Mind you, wouldn't the jockey have been crucified if she'd lost? Well, yes, we've banned jockeys before for such extravagant leads. So the spectacle first. Were you watching it live?
I was Bendigo Races, standing next to a trainer, a well-credentialed Group 1 winning trainer, and he said to me, can't happen, can't keep going that fast, look at the sectionals, it's going to get, oh, this is a mess. This was about with about 1,000 metres to go.
Yeah.
And I reckon that just about summed it up. In a footy terms, you were 17 goals two at quarter time, and then you just held that lead and you just played defensive, and you hoped like hell you were going to stay there. She was walking that last bit, but it was undamn believable. And we've had two amazing weeks. We're talking about the $10 million Winx foal. Everyone on the street's talking about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's rolled back this week and spoken about it. I mean, we're at the end of the Orland Carnival, and we've had the two biggest weeks of the, you know what, of the whole racing season, which started in August. There's no doubt about that.
And then the data analysts do their work.
Oh, nah, I'm not in their corner.
No, so going near identical speed, Randwick to Flemington, the lead was 5 lengths versus 35 lengths. The sole difference on the mathematics was where second and third were. Sometimes it lives in the racing rather than in the data, maybe.
It doesn't get me, and I'll tell you why I don't get it, is because when you visually look at that, it didn't look the same race, the Australian Cup. You know what I mean? The Australian Cup compared to running the other day.
Yeah.
It was that simple. And I know people love comparing data, but data gets to a point where you actually have to throw it in the bin sometimes and just look at it purely from the point of view. Trust what you see. Now, this is one question to any racing follower. When you watch the straight races at Flemington, they never, ever look like they're going that quick. And we've seen some of the great races where they nearly smashed the clock and you're going, wow, they didn't look like they were going that fast. So I'm not into that. The times, there's a spot for them, but I reckon we get over carried away with it. The bottom line was, I mean, what was his quote? I let her do the talking or whatever he just said. I mean, I was uncomfortable, said Declan Bates. You and about 20,000 other people thinking, my God, if you get beat, my friend, you're in more trouble than Burke and Wills.
So great for racing, a moment like that. I don't normally do this, but we've had a couple of requests asking, Halloween is your first starter in the first at the Heath today. How will it go?
He'll run really well. I just don't like the outside barrier. That's a minus, but everything else has been a tick and a plus. He's a lovely, lovely horse, and he goes really well. And it's a bit like taking your child to the preschool, Jared. This is a son of Exceedance. So I trained Exceedance for Victory, and then all of a sudden you're taking one of his children to the races. That's a bit soppy, but you know what? When you train these great colts and then they go to stud, it is rewarding to see their kids in action. So come on Halloween, and just to throw it in a little bit extra, because Michael Christian's been as hot as hot, he actually bought the mother. He texted me this morning and asked me how she was going. So what is he, Mr. MRO of the AFL?
He
will be watching closely.
All right, that's a 1 o'clock. Good luck. Nice to see you.
Thank you.